This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, this is Lou Roberts.
This is Tyrese Campbell.
And you're listening to the Every Step Along the Way podcast.
Everybody, welcome back to the Every Step Along the Way podcast, and welcome to a very happy podcast. We have come back from Southampton with three very, very valuable points. Now, as always, we've got a very reliable Mr. Daniel Buxton. Dan, are you as happy as probably the rest of the Stoke fans are, really?
Yeah, I'm happy and probably relieved is probably the word I'd say. Nice that we can now go into this Bristol City game this weekend and just relax, have a nice relaxing day.
Yeah, it makes a change. We've all said we don't want to go into that game worrying, and everyone very, very nervous, worrying about teams around us. We'll leave that to the likes of Huddersfield, Plymouth and Birmingham, I think, and obviously Sheffield Wednesday, but I think they'll have enough to get out of it, to be honest. But we're not here to talk about them. Now, before we get into the whole crux of everything, I thought, Dan, we probably just want to give a bit of an update on next season in terms of what we're actually going to be doing. We mentioned it, I think, a couple of times maybe on Twitter and stuff around the type of structure change we're going to do to the pod. So do you mind just giving a bit of an overview to everyone who's listening, what we're going to do and basically why we're going to do it?
We're cancelling the podcast. No, we're not really.
Stop it.
So we're going to be doing, so at the minute, obviously we give you a review and we give you a preview, we give it in one go though, and you have to sort of wait. The match can be played on a Saturday and you're waiting sort of until the following Friday to get your review of that game, and we just think that the podcasts are 2 hours long. Oh, they're getting that way on a regular basis now, so we obviously are already providing the content. We may as well just do it and split it. So we will, the plan and the what we're looking to do, and we're hoping it comes off and it's all great, is that every Monday you will get a review of Saturday's game, and then on a Friday you will get a pod that just previews the weekend game. And obviously your news will be split between both. You know, we'll have anything over the weekend will be covered on the Monday. Any news that comes through the week will be coming on the Friday. If there's a midweek game, then it'll be as it is now. Monday, we'll review the weekend, preview the midweek. Friday, we'll review the midweek game and preview the weekend. I know a couple of you like the long pods, so a couple of you find it's a little bit difficult to fit it in, especially before the match. So it might help out with that, and also gives everyone a little chance to get the review of the game in whilst it's still sort of a hotbed of conversation, shall we say, and on people's minds.
And it obviously means if we do lose, then we can just get it out of the way and we can move on without having to dwell on it again. Having got it out of our systems, kind of, you know, after the first few days, you've almost kind of relived the pain. So it means we don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah, I think what that review podcast could look like, is it yet fully 100% confirmed, either, is it, Mark, how that will potentially go and what we do with it. So, yeah, there may be a slight change to how we do it currently, or it might be that we do it different for different games. But yeah, I suppose we're gonna have a think, and yeah, you'll have to wait and see.
And by think, that means that we're going to arrange to go for a Chinese, and we're actually going to talk about it over a Chinese. So when they think, it's very loose thinking, right? Which suits us to the ground, because we're just not very intelligent. So, you know, a bit of loose thinking is always a good thing. So we'll definitely be doing that. And anyone who's been following this pod for the last 3 years will know that we do an end of season feedback form. So you'll see that drop in probably in the next week or so. And it's the same type of questions around what you like, what you want to see more of, what you maybe don't want to see more of, favorite sections and stuff like that. Because when people say, oh, we really value your feedback, sometimes it's just hot air. We generally do. Like every year we've taken the feedback on and we've tweaked something. So we've always said that, yes, this is our podcast, but obviously without you lot, we're speaking to ourselves. So if you can just make sure that when you see that come through on the socials, it'll be in the Messenger group, Facebook group and Twitter. So you won't miss it. But if you just make sure you give your honest opinion, you know, don't worry about hurting our feelings. We won't be hurt. You know, you can't, at the end of the day, you can't please everyone. So just let us know what you like and what you don't like and everything else. Ideas, what stuff we want to see, and we'll do that. Anyway, there's the formalities out of the way. Let's talk about the very, as I said, very much needed win against Southampton. Now, Dan, the team came out and we actually, did we not call this literally man for man, if I'm not mistaken?
We did. Yes, all three of us. It was us two and Laurie on last week. And yeah, all three of us had exactly the same team chosen. And I mean, to be fair, it was an unchanged side, which most of the time wouldn't be like shock horror. How did you manage to pick that side out? Although deciding that Stephen Schumacher was going to do an unchanged side, it actually probably is a bit of an achievement for us.
We should have had the lottery numbers, shouldn't we, that weekend, I think.
Yes.
I did get lottery numbers. I unfortunately got let down by West Brom not scoring a goal, costing me £1,500. So yeah, it wasn't the greatest weekend for me, other than the result. But anyway, that's a different story. I think to say, are we happy with the team? Well, yeah, of course we are, because as I said, that's the team that we wanted to go with. Before we go into like things like man of the matches in a bit, I just a couple of things I wanted to call out, really, because in terms of players, I think all of them did brilliantly. Again, I mentioned even a bit like maybe unsung heroes, right? So the likes of Stevens and stuff like that. I think I saw a record earlier on that our record's been obviously been pretty abysmal this year, as we know. But I think we've won 8 out of the 20 when he's been in the team, I think I remember rightly, for some of the stats. And we've said it before, but probably to reiterate it again, like, he just adds the balance, doesn't he? He makes, I think, everyone around him that little bit more comfortable.
Yeah, I think is it 8-20 with him and 6-25 without him.
So there you go.
Yeah, so it just shows, you know, what having an actual left back in there, and he is a quality player. He was a very, you know, when Sheffield United had that, you know, couple of great seasons in the Premier League, he was one of their key men, wasn't he? And I know he's a little bit older now, but he's not as if he's ancient. He's still, you know, early 30s and there, and you know, getting towards his mid-30s. So, yeah, for me, I think I'd give him, I suppose we'll get into contracts maybe later, it's a later date, but for, I think he's done enough when he's on the pitch to warrant sticking around for me. But yeah, I think when you see Jordan Thompson and Lyndon Gooch have been playing left back, they've just been filling in. It literally is just filling in. And I think having that balance, having the experience of somebody like an Ender Stevens there just helps everybody else around him, I think, as well, and just shores up that area of the pitch. As much effort as Thompson and Gooch put in, there are certain types of wingers who can literally just give them the run around. I think Andy Stevens has just got that little bit more nous about him, a little bit more knowledge in his defensive work to hold his own better against some of the more trickier wingers that we come up against.
I think for me with Stevens as well, before his injury, I think we saw how good he can be. And I think he's performing the same type of way now. Like, it's just really unfortunate that he's been not with a bit of few injuries over the last few years. And I think that's what's kind of caused him some real issues, obviously. So if he can stay fit, like I said, we'll talk about it on the season review and all that in the future. But I'm with you. Like, I think it'd be a bit of a no-brainer, especially with our inability to find a left back, it feels like these days. So I think we'd be a bit silly just to release one without having at least a couple and literally signed and sealed. Again, I guess you've got to mention, you know, the similar culprits. You know, where can we start with this? Let's start with the goal scorer, shall we? Tyrese Campbell. He's obviously come in for a hell of a lot of stick, Dan, this season. Some would say rightly deserved, some would say not. I mean, he's worked his backside off the last couple of weeks, hasn't he?
Yeah, and it's great to see, and also great to see that the fan base are starting to sort of fall back in love with him a lot. Some of us have been with him a long time. but yeah, it's, like I say, it is nice to see that that relationship is definitely thawing, isn't it, between sort of Ty and the Stoke fans, or the vocal, whatever they are, minority or majority, whichever one it is, who have been critical of him and that. And I think, I'll be honest, I think it's obvious to see there's more movements, there's more intensity to his game at the minute. And I think he's playing with his head up. I think he's more confident as well. And I think that comes into it. I think he's had a nice little run of games here, and I think he's got good players around him in attacking areas like Jono and Manuf, and I think it's paying dividends. So yeah,
Dan, I was going to say, I do wonder, you know, because if we think about it, obviously the team in the last, you know, couple of months, they've really just, I think they've been a lot more as a collective. Like, they've been working for each other. Obviously, we've been getting the results. I think it's playoff form, if I'm not mistaken, pretty much at the minute. So I think everyone's coming together. And I just wonder, and, you know, we'll probably talk about more on this on Friday, hint, hint. But I do wonder whether John Walters has had a direct impact on this. And we talked about it when he obviously was appointed the director. And it just feels a little bit of a coincidence that all of a sudden it's kind of molded together. And I just wonder whether they just needed that settled structure behind the scenes, someone who's been there, done it, has really bleed red and white, and, you know, has just got around them and unified everybody. Because it feels too much of a big coincidence for me to be able to, for everything to come together at the right time. Because I think that's just it. I think everyone's fighting, even the players that you would maybe determine as, you know, maybe are they going to be here next season, the Thompsons, right? You know, people like him. Kundal, who's been very poor since he's come in, but arguably been one of the better players recently. Ben Wilmot, again, struggled since his injury. He's come back in. I think he's been pretty solid. Kiana, been not great this season, but again, the last couple of months, looked good, looked dangerous going forward again. They feel like a unit again, as weird as that sounds. And I do wonder whether John's had an impact on that.
Yeah, it just seems to be a more positive environment, doesn't it? And whether that's positive sort of on the pitch. I think we've got a young side. I think I've said it many times. There's a young side. And I think young players especially can fluctuate with form due to sort of confidence in that, because they maybe not have that, they've not that back history of how to react when the going is a bit tougher. And you need them. So that's when your older heads come in, into it, and they guide you, and, you know, just help them younger players through. And I think we maybe missed a lot of that, especially with anything like, you know, players like Loren have spent a lot of the season injured. Baker missed the first half of the season. Stevens has missed a lot of the season. So, like I say, down the experience in the side, Wilmot is, yeah, well, he's a young man. He's probably our most experienced centre half. He's missed, you know, coming back off one injury and then gets another one. So I think that's probably not helped. And then, like I say, John Walters come in, seems to just be the catalyst for off the field as much as anything. And in the stands, the fans that have, you know, not been united as one, you know, there's been fractious relationships with the players and also with each other in the stands. And I think that's improved massively in recent times. So long may that continue.
Yeah, 100%. I don't think you could underestimate it as well. I think the confidence boost that, you know, beating the likes of Hull 2-0 away, you know, getting the results against Preston away. You know, we obviously had, of course, you know, the a bit further back, but like Middlesbrough's the home win there, where we knew it was going to be important. The comeback against West Brom. I think there's been a lot of games that have had turning points in them, and I think we've actually started to capitalise on the turning points, whereas previously we might have just folded a little bit. And like I said, I think it's just great to see that. And kind of going back to Tyrese, again, really good finish. I mean, he does that thing, doesn't he? He loves to face his man up because he knows that he's going to have that player really for pace the vast majority of time. When he wants to, he's got that burst of energy and burst of pace that will cause any defender problems. And he's just obviously going to the box. He's faced his man up. He's kind of hinting he's going to go on the left foot. And he's very quickly put inside, put the burners on and slotted it in very neatly with his right foot. We know he's a two-footed player. That's, for me, one of his biggest strengths. In the air, I think, is where he's typically been, you know, less effective. But also, I don't think we play in the air to Tyrese. So I think it's also probably unfair to kind of give him that tag. But I think when we spoke to him, he admitted he's you know, his aerial ability wasn't great. But for me, that's good enough for me. Like, I see Tyrese as being that burst of pace. So good on him. It's a really good finish. I mean, arguably, Dan, we really, after that, I mean, even actually before that, we should have been 2-3-0 up anyway. The amount of chances we had, you know, Josh Loren, multiple chances. You know, Manhoof, I think he did that cut in from the right-hand side and bent it almost into the bottom corner after the keeper's parried it away. You could go on. But I think for a team who had, what, 30-odd% possession, it's strange how we always looked like we were the better team and we always looked like we were going to win. For all their possession, I think we can easily say that we could have, well, we deserved to win it and we should have won it much more comfortably than we did.
This season has shown that kind of game is, if there's been one style or one kind of game that's gone in our favour, isn't it, or one kind of opposition that we've managed to unpick and beat, it's the one that enjoys a lot of the ball. And we can just play without the ball and then spring a bit of pace. I think especially since the turn of the year, when you think that June Ho's been put further forward and had more, you know, more minutes on the pitch and more influence. Manu's come in. And then even when they haven't, we've had people like Haksabanovic with his trickery, and obviously, you know, Tyrese has played games as well. I think there's plenty of pace in us going forward. And that's not always been the case for a long time with Stoke. But there is now in the attacking areas, we've got pace. And I think if we let the opposition have the ball, hit them on the break, and then that seems to be our, you know, like say our sort of best performances come from that, don't we? So we don't particularly need the ball. I think we do struggle actually when we have more possession. And that goes back a long time. You're talking at least, you know, the amount of time, you know, 6 years that we've been in this division, is that, you know, when we come up against a side that just sit in and say, you can have it, we invariably, if they're patient enough, we will do a defensive howler and gift them a goal. And if they are, like I say, rigid and strong enough in defence, we aren't able to break them down. And that is an age-old story.
Do you think that this is the way that Schumacher wants to play, though? I think the way that he's kind of alluded to it in a couple of interviews recently is, because I think he was asked a direct question, actually, after the game, was, you know, we're starting to really see like a Steven Schumacher team. And he kind of agreed with it. And I don't know if that was being polite or because we've won, he was just being positive. Because the way that I thought was, he again, from people we spoke to, it's like he wants to be in the phase and he wants to be the team attacking and doing all that possession, you know, doing that type of stuff. That's kind of the message that we got across. So do you think that that's the case, or is this an area where he's developing and thinking, actually, maybe in this division, I can't be that attacking. This isn't League One, right? Maybe he's figuring out that that can't be the way. And actually, a good way of winning is actually just do what we're doing now. Get the quality in the right areas of the pitch. Take the chances when you get them. Hit people on counter-attacks. Get some pace. I'm curious as to where you think he is. Do you think we're seeing a Steven Schumacher team in terms of tactically, or are we just seeing it in terms of effort right now, and maybe we should expect changes next year?
I think we're getting there. I don't think it's fully where he wants us to be yet. I don't think that'll be expected until next season when he's had a full pre-season with them. But I think you can be attacking and you can be forceful without needing, you know, masses of possession as well. I think as long as when you're in defence, you are positive. So that means you're engaging with the ball and sort of being too passive without the ball. And then obviously when you get the ball, I think it sounds opposite to what it is, but you need to be direct. I think he wants us to be direct. But when you say direct, people think, oh, yeah, that's like Wimbledon, Tony Pulis, long ball over the top, that's direct. No, I think it's quickly moving the ball, but moving it in the right places. And, you know, he likes to keep the ball on the deck, doesn't he, and move it quickly through the channels. And it's like all about looking forward. So why are you using 5-6 passes to move 10 yards forward if you've got that one pass that can get you 10-15 yards into somebody? And it's, you know, not a hit and hope or not a percentage ball. It's an actual, like, yeah, it's a pass on into somebody who's then in a good position to do something with the ball. And, you know, keeping it, it's, I think if you can get Schumacher ball working, then I think we could be in for a lot of entertainment next season, if nothing else.
And I think all Stoke fans would agree that we just want entertaining for once, please. Like, yeah, look, it'd be nice to get playoffs. Oh, that's a long way away. I'll be honest with you. Right now, that's not even close to my mind. And it shouldn't really be close to many people's mind, to be honest, because we've got a long, long way to go before that. But I think we'd all agree that regardless of what that means as far as our finishing position, what we want to see next year is, you know, goals. We want to see the same type of effort going in that we have seen in the last probably, you know, maybe eight to 10 games. I think we definitely need to see that. It'd be nice to actually win more than 3 games in a row, or at least, I mean, I think we've generally done won 3 games in a row once this season. That was Sunderland at home, we won 2-1, beat Leeds at home 1-0, and obviously Middlesbrough away 2-0. A great set of results, right? Because Sunderland were in form as well at that point. So those are 3 games that really, in theory, you wouldn't expect us to win. So, you know, that's great. But that's the only time this season we've done that in the league. The only time. I mean, to winning like 2 games back-to-back as well. Like, we have done that once, other than that 3. And that is the last 2 games. That's not good enough over the course of a season.
Yeah, I was going to say this is only the second time we've done back-to-back wins, and also the first time under Steven Schumacher as well that we've won back-to-back matches.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll get into Bristol City in a bit, won't you? But I'm one of these people, like, the season's ending now. Like, you are in this division next season. You know, in these last, you know, this game on Saturday, If we'd have secured safety 2 games ago, and that was it, we couldn't go up, couldn't go down. Season sort of ended there, and however many games you've got left now, is a bit of a free hit, a bit of a chance to explore things in your squad you maybe haven't done so far, and maybe to give yourself a little bit of a head start on next season.
Just everyone going in relaxed, a little bit like we kind of alluded to before. Everyone goes into Bristol a bit relaxed. They're there just to turn up for a good day. It's going to be, I mean, it's only small, right? But it's going to be really nice weather, potentially, by the sounds of it. It's going to be a nice day. And let's just hope that people can just turn up. You know, the lap of appreciation, I think, is what they call it these days. So, you know, that will obviously happen as well. And we're not going in there thinking, oh, God, this is going to be nasty come full time. I think everyone's just going to have that mood and that whole, like, reset mood, thinking about the summer again, thinking about, oh, who we're going to sign and who's going to be leaving and all that business. I think, like you said, we've had a very difficult season. So let's finish on an absolute massive high and go and win another game. And what a way to finish a season. I wonder how many teams in this league will finish with three back-to-back wins. Not many, I bet.
Does it matter, though? Like,
no, it doesn't matter. It's just confidence. It's a nice way to finish the season. It's just confidence for me. But for those who are going to be here next year.
Right. Let's park that conversation then. And we'll come back. We can come back to that in a minute when we get onto Bristol. Because I think that would be a split in the fan base as well. As in, what you're sort of alluding to there is how you treat the game and how I would personally treat the game if I was Steven Schumacher. It'd be interesting to know what other people think, which way they would go with it, how much sort of emphasis they put on result over maybe youth development and seeing other players and stuff. So, yeah. But we'll come back to that.
Yeah, we'll come back to it. I aren't convinced that a 90 minutes for a youth player is going to do much difference, if I'm honest. But that's fine. Yeah, we'll come back to it. Okay, cool. Well, look, I mean, as far as Southampton goes, obviously they had a few chances. I think they only had like three on target compared to our eight when I was looking at the stats. They had their chances. Iverson, I think, was always comfortable with them. At no point really did I think he was ever in any major danger. I think the one real kind of clear-cut chance was that ball over the top that, again, I don't want to be negative one, we just want, but an observation, let's put it that way. McNally again being beaten with the ball over the top, and arguably you could say that, you know, I'd have to watch you back again, but I think Ben was also nowhere to be seen, and I think it was really more on his side. But either way, that ball over the top again has done us. Arguably, McNally did go back and cleared the ball off the line pretty much. So, you know, at least he recovered. But again, I think we need to sort that out next season. I think it'll be Ben Wilmot will be one of the main two centre-backs. I'm convinced of it. I think he is very much a Schumacher defender. Again, we'll get into transfers. And I don't want McNally back, if I'm honest with you. I do think we need someone who's far more rough and ready, is going to dominate that centre-back and just put a foot in. Almost like an old style fashion defender. That's what I want to see in that position alongside him. Someone to help him as well, because he's still only a young bloke as well. So, I think that's what we need to try and cut out, because we were doing it early part of the season. The ball over the top would kill us. And then we ended up going down a pattern of play where we were doing it at fullbacks as well. So it was almost like we couldn't win. So I want to see an improvement there. But, you know, look, arguably, I think Kiana, another good game for me. For Kiana is... He's happily rammed that down my throat in terms of my thoughts in recent season. Anyway, but I've kind of said anyway, I've been praising him for the last couple of months. And, you know, he has been poor for me overall as the season. But I've still got to turn around and give him credit. Again, he looked lively. He looks good right now. And it's like, I wish you could just give us this for 40 games a season. Or, you know, 46 or whatever. Just give it more consistently. But yeah,
I think he started well, didn't he? The first six, 8 weeks of the season, he started well. And then he's ended the last probably 3 months of the season, he's ended well.
Yeah.
There was a very, you know, sort of sticky 3-4 month period in between. I mean, I was just saying at the time, Hunter, that he's just a young player doing what young players do, which is having a dip in form. And, you know, he's still a young man in his very early 20s who's, like I say, developing and learning. He's learning his trade, learning his football. And I think when he does have a bad spell, and he just seemed to be... It was one of those, wasn't it? We've seen it before with Stoke players. I mean, Jack Butland was one, wasn't it, where he had one mistake and then he tried to play through one mistake. He had it with another mistake and then another one quickly followed the week after, and all of a sudden you're in a bit of a rut. And I think it wasn't to that drastic extent that Jack went through, but there was definitely a multiplication of errors over time.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. We're not going to go through every single player, but again, well done to Bay. Josh Loren, good game. On another day, scores a few goals. Jordan Thompson, solid yet again. Kundal, lively, busy. probably for me wasn't as lively as previous games, but he did nothing wrong. So I think it was a really good overall team performance for me.
Do you want me to give you the man of the match?
I was literally about to ask you that. Man of the match for the weekend, Daniel.
So in third place was the aforementioned Kiana Hoover with 18% of the vote. And third place that actually seals him third place in our player of the season standings. That's where he's guaranteed to finish. So that's the top three all settled in that. So Juno is guaranteed second, and Wouter Burger is guaranteed as our podcast player of the season. So well done to those three. But in this man of the match poll, second place went to Tyrese Campbell, the match winner. He got 21% of the vote. And then with 47% of the vote, Million Manhoof. And his third man of the match of the season as well.
Yeah, I think we're starting to see a real player come out there. I think his international stint and probably that pearl of a goal that he did, I think obviously it probably helped with his confidence. But I think as soon as he came back here, he started to get into the team and looking a bit more involved and a bit more lively. And I think as much as I sometimes, well, not sometimes, I generally dislike international football, other than when England play, if I'm honest with you, I'll watch it, of course. But I'm a very big fan of... Really, I get very nervous about players getting injured. But as much as I will admit that that seemed to really help him, and he's just come back and he's not looked back since for me. So can't wait to see what we're going to get from him next season. I think he's a really interesting player. And as much as, again, we all said we wanted a defender in the January window, and we ended up with Million. Yes, it was. You know, it's always nice to have attacking players, but obviously it was a very big question mark over that decision. But great to see that, you know, he's settling in well, in theory. I was between Hoover and Campbell for me, Dan, for man of the match. I personally went for Campbell, just because I think he deserves it for me.
For me, Million just seemed to be involved. I know he didn't quite get the goal or anything, but he just seemed to be involved in everything, didn't he? And that was why I sort of did go for him. But yeah, I think any of the three that were in the top three could have won it. They were all three very good performances. Player of the month. fifth place was Campbell, by the way, 72 for April. Thompson was fourth with 76 points. Hoover, 94 points, got in third. So that's third and everything, isn't it, at the minute. Second was Juno with 122. And Million Manhoof is our player of the month for April with 134 points. And yes, one more thing I will say on Southampton before we move into the news is that, we did go to Southampton last game of the season, or last away game of the season in 2017, beat them 1-0 with a goal from striker in Peter Crouch. And we got relegated 12 months later. So hopefully that doesn't get repeated. Anyway, into the news.
I was going to say, but put it this way, if that kind of gets repeated, Steven Schumacher will not see out that season. So, it's not going to happen, Dan. This is it now. This is the way forward. The tide has changed. We've got the man in the door. We're going to have a great summer. And yeah, let's get into the news.
Amen. So, into the news. And under 18s first up. Now, they were hosted at Blackburn last week. And they were 5-3. They were defeated. A game full of games. a very young Stoke side. They're full of the under-16s. A lot of them are promoted. I suppose a lot of the under-18s who aren't being kept on will have been informed of that. They were 2-0 down at half-time. But then, goal-filled second half followed. And yeah, Stoke got on the score sheet through Powell, Gianni and AF. So three names maybe to look out for in the future. This week they play the penultimate game of the season, which is Manchester City at home. That game takes place at Clayton Wood, 11 a.m. kickoff on Saturday. Now the under-21s, they finished their season last week with a 2-1 home defeat to Newcastle. They were 2-0 early on before Jack Griffiths got them back into the game on 28 minutes. But Tommy Simpkin was sent off after 45 minutes and Jaden Dixon joined him in an early bath after 69, which meant that Stoke were defeated. They finished 18th, meaning they missed out on the top 16 playoffs. As it turned out with other results, even a win wouldn't have qualified them for the knockout stages anyway in that final game. So that's the under-21s done for this season. The women, now, they had a great weekend last weekend. So they hosted Fylde and won 5-0. So goals from Royce and Cavell, Shannon Stamps, Heidi Logan, Sophie Tudor and Alice Higginbottom gave them their third win in a row. They're unbeaten in 5 matches. And now they've guaranteed themselves that they're going to finish 5th in the league. So, yeah, fantastic. They travel to Nottingham Forest for their final game of the season, which is this Sunday, 2 p.m. kickoff. So good luck to the ladies there. Let's hope you can make it 4 in a row there. Now, news-wise, just a little update on some loanees. So David Akagbu and Matt Baker have returned to Stoke after their seasons ended with Walsall and Newport respectively. Both saw a lot of game time, especially in the Akagbu space after the new year. A bit of a mainstay in that Walsall defence, so got a lot of experience probably gathered for them too. Emre Tesco, well, his season continues because he came on as a 63rd minute sub for MK Dons last week. Within 10 minutes, he'd scored a goal and set one up. Fantastic. He's also now involved in the League Two playoffs. So, yeah, I believe it's Crawley who MK Dons have got. So, yeah, they've got them in the semi-finals and then possibly even a final with Crewe if they get through that. So, yes, so Emre's season goes on. And, yeah, we wish him the luck, best of luck. I think these kind of games, you know, important games like this could be the ones where he really, you know, gets involved. And it's great, like say, he seems to, the more he's played, the more goals he's scoring, the more impact he's having on games. So this loan spell really could be the making of Emre Tesco, and he could join us for the summer, ready to maybe be challenged for a spot with us next season, who knows. In other news, Tom Sparrow. So he is an academy graduate with the squad. He has been released, he announced on his social medias this week. So yeah, he's left the club. Tom made 16 matchday squads, making a total of 4 appearances, including 3 starts. And he had, you know, a number of loan spells out, including a couple this year. So best of luck to Tom in his future career. South Korea. So their under-23s lost in their Olympic qualifiers. You know that Bae Jun Ho could have gone there. There was Stokes obviously asked him to stick by and stay at home because obviously we weren't safe from relegation at the time. Unfortunately, without Jun Ho, they progressed to the group stage and then lost on penalties to Indonesia in the quarterfinals. What that means is there's no Olympics for South Korea. First time in a long time, no Olympic football for South Korea. What that does mean, though, is that Juno won't be joining them in July and August for that competition. So he will be with us for pre-season and obviously the start of next season's championship campaign. Any other business? Well, quite interestingly, so there's been a stat flying around this week. I believe it was at Rich Jolly on Twitter highlighted it. Once Hossel, who appeared for Real Madrid in their Champions League semi-final this week against Bayern Munich, that means that Stoke's 2015-16 squad has had Champions League semi-finalists in 2004, which was Glenn Johnson, 2005, Glenn Johnson and Ibrahim Afellay, 2007, Peter Crouch, 2008, Bojan and Crouch, 9 and 10 was Bojan, 11 was Afellay, 2013 was Shaqiri, 2019 was Shaqiri, and now 2024 is Hossel. Amazing. Stoke alone lives on. Right. That's everything from the news. Let's now get into a Bristol City.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
So, right, the head-to-head record between these two sides, and you best steady yourself for the stat in a minute. You might want to sit down. 63 times we've played Bristol City. 28 wins, 15 draws, 20 defeats. At home, 30 times we've met. 17 Stoke wins, 4 draws, 9 wins for the Robins. The last 5 home games versus Bristol City, so that's the 5 home games since we were relegated to the Premier League, every single one has been a Bristol City win. 5 years in a row we've lost at home to Bristol City. Now, that means that in the 25 games that played before that, we only lost 4 times to them. Amazing. This actually has been a game for the away team, both at Stoke and Bristol, because the home sides have collected 4 points from 11 games. Stephen Schumacher against Bristol City manager Liam Manning. 3 games, all when Liam Manning was at MK Dons and Stephen Schumacher was at Plymouth. A win, a draw and a loss. A 5-0 home defeat. It's not, didn't bode too well, does it? A 4-1 away win, though, and a 1-1 away draw. Those are 3 games. Stephen Schumacher against Bristol City, just a 1 game, which was a 4-1 loss at Bristol City in September when he was still Plymouth manager. And this is the first time that Liam Manning has managed a game against Stoke. Stoke's home form, they've picked up 27 points this season, puts them 21st in the home table, and they are unbeaten in 3 home games, having lost just 1 of the last 5. So is the tide turning at the Bet365? Last 5 matches, they picked up 8 points, which puts them 9th in the form table. Bristol City's away form, they're 15th, having picked up 25 points. They've won 1 of the last 6 away, though, but are unbeaten in 3. Last 5 matches, they picked up 9 points, which puts them 4th in the form table. Last season was the first Stoke defeat on the final day in 12 years. So before that, they'd won 7 and drew 4 of the previous 11 years. So let's get back to that. Cheers for that, Alex Neil. Something else you went and ruined in your short time here. Even though Bristol City have scored 10 more than Stoke, they have 4 less assists. So that sounds like either picking up loose balls, defensive mistakes, or individual worldy goals is the aim of the game down at Bristol City, by the sounds of it. Bristol City's keeper has saved 76.2% of shots this season, which is higher than any club in the league. Both clubs have had 72% of shots saved by the opposition. Bristol City have scored 7 out of 7 penalties this season, which is only better by Leicester, who have scored 12 of 13. Bristol City have been weak, aerially. Only Swansea and Plymouth have won less than their 45.9% of aerial duels. Stoke have actually won 48.1% of their aerial duels. Harry Cornish, so he's come off the bench 31 times this season, which is a league high. So poor lad, they've got to give him a start on Saturday, surely, Mike.
Yeah, I must admit, I quite like a big Cornish pasty. That's all I could think about when you mentioned Cornish. I didn't even hear the rest of what you said. So yeah, I'm just hungry.
Well, one lad who's perennially on the bench and coming off it is Harry Cornish. Max O'Leary is the opposite to that. He's hoping to complete a full championship season playing every single minute. So that's what he's on for if he completes the 90 minutes against Stoke on Saturday. Joe Williams has 5 assists this season, which is the most for Bristol City, despite not scoring himself. Juno is Stoke's top assister, by the way, with 5, also with 5, add to his 2 goals. Tommy Conway is the Robins' top scorer with 10 goals, but half of those have been from the penalty spot. The referee is Sam Barrett, 37 games this season, 117 yellows, 3 reds, 9 penalties, 16 home wins, 12 draws, 9 away wins. He's ref 15 Premier League games this season, so he's obviously well thought of as a referee. I think he's been fast-tracked right the way through. I think he sort of got shot straight into the Championship within a couple of games when he started reffing in the EFL. He's ref Stoke 4 times, 6 yellows, no reds, no penalties for, no penalties against, 2 wins and 2 defeats. The 2 games this season, though, have been the defeats, which were 2-1 losses both at home to Birmingham and away at Plymouth. He's ref Bristol City 6 times, giving them 8 yellows, 1 red, 1 penalty for them, not against. They've won twice with him reffing, drew 1 and lost 3. 4 times he's refed them this season, though, and they were the 4 bad results, 1 draw and 3 defeats. It was the 1-1 draw away at Norwich 2 weeks ago, and then the 3 defeats were at home to QPR in February, 1-0, 2-0 away at Preston in January, and 2-0 at home to Birmingham last August. on this day is a bit of a monumental one. One of my favourite days supporting Stoke City. The 4th of May, 2008, Stoke City drew 0-0 with Leicester and returned to the top flight after 23 years. I invaded the pitch. I'm going to admit to that. You can't ban me now anyway. It's too late.
I was going to say, we were all on the pitch that day. Me and my dad were in the stands. We turned round and there was this old guy, 70-odd easily, 70, 80-odd, and he was just stood there in tears, like, saying, I don't believe this has happened. I never thought I'd ever see this again. He didn't go down onto the pitch, unfortunately, but yeah, you could just see it meant everything to him on that day.
Yeah, it was a special, special day. It started for a special, special time as well. The next, I mean, we were two years into it. We were to coach and sort of together with Peter Coates, actually, you know, formerly in charge. And they'd been two great years. And I think, you know, I think the next, what, 7 or 8 years in the Premier League were great. I mean, the last two sort of petered off a bit and turned a bit sour. But yeah, I think we were 2 years into a decade of great times there. And yeah, I'm sure it'll come round again. We've just got to cross our fingers that it's sooner rather than later. Right, before we get into Bristol City, let's listen one last time this season, for a match prediction anyway, to the one, the only, Graham McGarry.
Hello there, you Potter's predictors. This is Graham McGarry for the final time this season with what will hopefully be a real good swan song for you Stoke fans when you take on Bristol City on Saturday at lunchtime. A terrific 3 points on the road last time out has boosted the confidence as you come into this final game of what has been a real high and low season for you. The high is obviously the end of the season. The low has been too long in the doldrums of the bottom half of the table. But I'm pretty sure you can go out on a high this particular weekend. Bristol City are one of those teams that are a bit Jekyll and Hyde, and Stoke City can take advantage with the passionate Bet365 crowd right behind them. Stephen Schumacher has settled it down. He'll be working hard throughout the summer months to get it ready for when the season kicks off again in August, and hopefully a much better season, and one of those seasons where you're more near the top than the bottom half of the table. So Bristol City come, could be a good day. Enjoy it. Stoke 3, Bristol City 1.
Cheers for that, Graham. Thank you for the whole season, and you've been an ever-present at all 50 games, including the cup games that Stoke have done. So thank you very much for your predictions. And yeah, three seasons in for Graham. He's been a mainstay with us, hasn't he? Every pod.
Yeah, we tried to replace him several times, but we just never found a replacement.
We haven't. Don't listen, Graham. We haven't. We love you.
Well, we'll move ourselves around the Radio Stoke room. So it's been Graham for 3 years. We'll get Rob or Lucas on for the next 3 years now. See if they can beat Graham. I am only kidding, Graham.
Right. So Bristol City. Do we give you some? I've got Mehdi Lloris missed last week because he was ill. So he probably be back. Aksabanovic missed last week with a groin strain, so they're going to monitor that. And Lyndon Gooch and Ben Pearson are on the way back from hamstring injuries, although Stephen Schumacher has said that the most important thing for the entire squad is that they are fit and raring to go for the first day of pre-season. I don't think we will see Gooch or Pearson. I doubt we'll see Aksabanovic. Lloris, maybe if he was just ill and he's fully recovered, we may see him. But I don't see any benefit to personally to putting Lyndon Gooch and Ben Pearson out there if they're on the way. Hamstrings are funny things. I wouldn't risk it for a game like this.
No, I wouldn't either, mate. And to be honest, I don't think the players would want to risk it either. I've said before, and it is tongue-in-cheek, but there's definitely an element of they want a good summer. They do not want to be spending their summer at the training ground. To be honest. So I think if I was a player, I'd be like, Luke, not 100%. I'm not quite feeling it. I can't play. That's what I know. Maybe it's an attitude thing, but I wouldn't want to spoil my entire summer when I've had, you know, a bit of a difficult season. You know, they've been here, there and everywhere. You know, they still spend a lot of time away from family and stuff like that. I know I wouldn't want to spoil it. So me personally, no, if you're not 100%, we've got other players that can come in down. We don't need to force people through. This isn't a must-win game now. So take it easy. You're going to say probably, you know, Sidibe and co are going to be playing. I know we'll get to that, but I don't think we should take any risks. What's the point? We're not going to benefit from taking risks other than peeing people off, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't see the risk. I don't see the point in it. What's like I say, the manager's got it right. They need to be ready for the first day of pre-season, don't they?
Yeah, they've got to be. We can't have another season like this. So we need them fit and raring to go.
And pre-season, although it's, you know, we think of the off-season and it drags and it feels like forever, they'll be starting training again in about, 6 weeks' time? So if he does, if either of them come on today and do a come on Saturday, do a hamstring, then they aren't starting training with everybody else, are they?
No, exactly not.
I mean, other people then, so final games, we're talking Daniel Everson, Keanu Hoover, Luke Kundal, Haksabanovic, Luke McNally, they're all alone. You've got Tyrese Campbell, Karen Clark, Wesley, Frank Fielding, Blondie, all out of contract. DeMarjo Matt Phillips, Tom Edwards also out of contract, but they've been out on loan. How many of them do you think will feature? Do you think any of them deserve some sort of sign-off? Do you think any of them could potentially be here next year?
I think a good chunk of them will be here next year, if I'm honest. I think Lewis Baker, you ruled off a bit of a list there. I'm trying to remember which ones you mentioned now. But
Everson, Hoover, Kundal, Hacks and McNally.
Everson starts and here next season. Kundal starts here next season. Thompson starts here next season. McNally probably starts but is not going to be here next season for me. Who have I missed from your list?
Hacks. You said Hoover, didn't you?
Hoover, no, I haven't. So Hoover, I think will be here next season. I'm not quite sure in what capacity, but he'll be here. Hacks. I'm not sure. I'm really 50-50 on Hacks. So I'm going to say no, I don't think he'll be here. I think he will. If he was fit, I think he'd play, but I don't think he will. So yeah, Hacks, no. It won't be here. Tyrese, I've got a sneaky feeling he will, you know. I know he's not on loan, but contract-wise, I think he'll be here next season. I don't know why. There's no inside information on that whatsoever. I was in the camp of, well, if he hasn't signed by now, he's not going to sign at all. I don't know. Yeah, tricky. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm with you. I just got a feeling like you that he's going to be here next season. Karen Clark, Wesley, Blondie, I can't see any of them anywhere. And Frank Fielding, if he is going to retire, I think for the years he has done, he's given 3 years service to the club of just patiently, like I say, third choice goalkeeper. It's a job that, you know, he sort of knows that he's got to be prepared constantly in the knowledge that 99.9% of the time he'll not be needed. And then when we have a keeper crisis, we've gone and got somebody else in as well. So it's like, I think it would be nice. In a game like this, I mean, it's got two sides with nothing riding on it. It would be, I think, stick him on the bench. If he is going to retire anyway, stick him on the bench and, yeah, we can have the last 10 minutes just so he can say, yeah, he did actually make an appearance for the club and a bit of a thank you for, like I say, 3 years of service, regardless of which game time he got.
Totally agree. The final 10 minutes, he's got to come on for me. I think everyone would love it. You know, they really would. And it was quite ironic, actually. We were listening back to some of the Tyrese Campbell interview we did, only very briefly, just to try and find a certain point in there. And Tyrese was running through a number of players in the team, you know, different conversation pieces, and all of them had pretty much left. And then Frankie Fielding comes up. We were like, bloody hell, everyone's left. And Frank's, of all people, of all the names and the good names he reeled off, Frank Fielding is still here. It's quite funny. But time, yeah, he deserves it.
Time Frank, longest serving members of the club.
Crazy, isn't it?
Obviously, a couple of other players who are quite long-standing, obviously DiMaggio and especially Tom Edwards, the only other one with Ty who sort of played back in the Premier League days. Both haven't been out on loan. Any future for either of them?
Nope. DiMaggio, it was weird. DiMaggio, his pace was great, and I think he was able to beat his man. I think that was a really, really good credit to him. But I never felt that he was going to be good enough at a championship level. So for me, no, I wouldn't have him back. Tom Edwards, I think we saw in pre-season, and obviously what's happened for Tom since then, that I don't think he's this level. I think in League One, League Two is where he pretty much is. Unfortunately, as much as I'd love to say otherwise, because we all love a local lad, but for me, Tom's done.
Yeah, he's definitely not challenging Chamadou and possibly Hoover for that right-back spot, is he? So
no,
there's no point sticking around. DiMaggio, I think he's done really well, hasn't he, when he's been out in Belgium? And you do wonder that, obviously, he didn't really get much of a chance at Northampton. He hasn't really... You know, he's done well in spells for Stoke, but other times he's looked out of it. You wonder whether a move to the continent and a different style of play might just suit somebody of his sort of stature and physical attributes.
Yeah, 100%. No, don't get me wrong, mate. I don't think he will be here. It's not to say that I definitely absolutely do not want to see him. I think it'd be interesting to get him back for pre-season. Just because, again, I do agree. Like, we'll get, you know, he'll get scouting reports and stuff. Of course he will. But at the same time, I don't think that Schumacher's probably seen a minute of football, realistically, from him. I don't think he's going to have been watching loads of videos on Ryan Phillips. He probably will to win the preseason because his name will no doubt come up. So, yeah, we'll see, because it's another option on that left-hand side, isn't it? That, you know, it's nice to have an option. And even if he's just someone who, you know, is going to maybe play 10 games a season, but he'll cover for you when you're a bit light, he might just see that as, okay, we'll keep him around the club. Big question marks, but not ruling it out.
Right, so we've got the pleasantries out of the way. We've got the injury list out of the way. Who is going to play? Now, I'll throw a name here who I 100%, right now, to be fair, he should be on his holidays. He should be on a beach somewhere, sitting there with a pina colada or whatever he wants to drink, enjoying the sun somewhere, and that is Bae Joon-ho. The guy's played, I think, 70-odd games, and his season's lasted 17 months, hasn't it? Because of how, obviously, the Korean League, and then we picked him up at the end of that. He doesn't need to be playing this game, let's be honest. He's played enough football. They don't get a long summer as it is. I'd have said to him, as soon as that game at Southampton was done, I'd have said, right, get yourself a holiday book somewhere, lad, and off you go.
Yeah, I agree with you. He deserves a bit of a break. So let him just sit there on the bench. Don't get me wrong, if we have all of a sudden flurry of injuries or something, then by all means, you know, he's an option. I just get him on the bench and let him enjoy the match and watch it. And yeah,
I wouldn't even do that. I'd have him in the stands. I think we've got more than enough wide players and midfielders, haven't we, that can get through. And like I say, there's plenty. I mean, we just mentioned about the news and that. I mentioned, obviously, Jack Griffiths scored for the under-21s. He's been in good form recently. I'd rather... He may as well sit on the bench than Joon-ho if we need a winger, haven't we, for the last 20 minutes or whatever.
Yeah. Like I say, no arguments here, mate. I mean, whether he's on the bench or in the stands, I agree with you. There's no point. Just, I know one game isn't going to really do, you know, amazing things for resting him. But I just think, yeah, with you, he deserves it. Don't risk anything. It only takes one dodgy tackle or something to, you know, make this a very sour tasting game all of a sudden. Something innocent. So yeah, with you, let him have a break. As the same goes for a number of players, actually, I think. But yeah, let him have a break.
Well, when you talk about how many games he's had, it sort of goes along the same lines as Pearson and Gooch, don't you know? Muscle injuries easily picked up.
Yeah, it really doesn't take much. Like I say, he's playing a lot of games. You know, you've got the likes of Berger and stuff that will be in the same situation. There's a number of players. As the week's gone on, Dan, I've been coming around to the feelings of resting a number of players and bringing in some of the younger lads, which, I mean, let me know when you want the team and I'll give it to you. But I've come around to your way of thinking this week.
Yeah, I mean, go on. I've better time than now. Fire away with your teammates.
Here we go. Well, I know we like to have Shuey making six changes, and I think I might have gone for more than this, actually. But let's see. So, Iverson and goal. Agree with you. Frankie Fielding makes his appearance just to finish off his career. Defence, we can't change an awful lot, I guess. I was iffing and ahhing with Kieran Clarke coming in just for his cameo. I think he'll get one, but I think he'll get it towards the end of the season. Sorry, end of the game, rather. End of the season. So I'll get it towards the end of the game. Stevens, for me, stays at left-back. McNally, Wilmot and Junior on the right-hand side. We're going to have Baker and Thompson in the middle. I think Thompson will be here next year, with his other options. But I want then Sidibe in the middle with them. And then Andre Vidigal on the left, replacing Junho, Lloris replacing Manhoof, and Nathan Lowe replacing, well, either Ennis, which I was living on with Ennis. I just think Lowe will get his chance because Ennis can come off the bench if needs be. So, yeah, I'd say that a mixture of youth and experience, and, you know, Vidi is going to have a lot to prove next year, I think. So I think it'd be interesting to see how he takes this game. The sun's going to be shining, so he'll probably like it. So, yeah, I think bit of youth, bit of experience, bit of, you know, players wanting to prove something. And Lowe obviously scored against Bristol not long ago, so he might want to repeat that.
Yeah, sounds good to me if he does. I've also gone for Everton in goal, but this is the caveat. I've searched everywhere, and barring reading through 700 million pages of EFL handbook, which you need to really need a search engine, people who do that, who put that online, Tommy Simkin got sent off for the under-21s last week, as I mentioned, him and Jaden Dixon. For me, I would have involved both of them in this game at some point, whether it be off the bench or start. I'd started Simkin, but I think his red card for the under-21s makes him suspended for this game. If he is suspended, Everton starts. If not, I would start Simkin. I'd like to see him get the experience. He's already played one championship match. He played at Forest Green, didn't get much of a chance after, you know, change of managership earlier on. He's an England youth international. He's got rave reviews at Solihull Moors. I would give him 90 minutes, get him some experience again. My back four is actually different to yours. I've got Wilmot and Rose as my centre-backs. I've got Junior Chamadou playing right-back, and Josh Bickerton, a man who Ryan Shawcross has been raving about in the under-21s. Very young, you know, 17, 18-year-old left-back. I'd give him a go, give him a start at left-back. Ender Stevens is on the bench, so if it is going a bit pear-shaped for him, there's also always that opportunity. And obviously, if he does, you know, the intensity of the play and then the emotion of the day get the better of him physically and that, and he tires, then Stevens can just come on and finish the game. In midfield, I've gone for Jordan Thompson, Sol Sidibe, and Josh Lloran. I think Josh Lloran, Jordan Thompson is always going to, you know, he's going to give you 7 out of 10, isn't he? And then, you know, do his stuff there. Give Sol Sidibe a bit of licence in front of him. And Josh Lloran is the older head in there, the captain, who, you know, I think he played. I'm sure it was him and Sidibe in midfield in that League Cup game, and Sidibe was man of the match as well. So nice for Sol to get back on the pitch with Josh and hopefully give a performance along the same lines. I've gone for Manhoof on the right, Campbell on the left, and Lowe in the middle. Just thinking that Nathan Lowe, a lot of the games he's played, a lot of the subs that he's come on, we've been up against it. We haven't had the opportunity to get him involved much. The games that he has played recently, he's come on leaps and bounds for me. I think he improves every time we see him. And if now he's got Campbell with his tail up, he's got Manhoof full of confidence. Either them, either side of him, they're going to be getting close around him. They're going to be running past him. And I think you're going to see a different side of Nathan Lowe with that going on around him compared to what we had at the start of the season when he was playing. For me, a big game for him. Like I say, he got the winner against Bristol City as well. And I think that Nathan Lowe will get himself on the score sheet. Subs, fielding will come on for Everson for me, especially if he's retiring. Like I say, Ender Stevens is on there. Baker, Ennis, Hoover, Berger. And then I've got some youngsters. Luke Enright's been banging the goals in for the under-18s, so why not just chuck him on the bench? We've got 9 subs. Jack Griffiths, again, he was, you know, one of the sort of the golden four, wasn't he, with Tesgal, Lowe and Simkin. But injuries have sort of hampered him back. He's been in form lately for the under-21s. Get him on the bench, let him get a bit of a taste of the first team, you know, later on maybe. And then Freddie Anderson, son of England international Viv, another one who Ryan Shawcross has been absolutely raving about. Get him his centre-back, Wilmot or Rose, whichever. I say what I would do when Stevens comes on for Bickerton, bring Anderson on as well, so you haven't got too much youth and inexperience in the back line. But, like I say, pair him up with Ben Wilmot and just let him sort of, like I say, it's a bit of experience there, isn't it? And then players, for me, the biggest thing is win, lose or draw this game, I know people say that you go into the summer and you've got happy vibes, you've won the game. Yeah, that positivity of winning a game lasts for 24, 48, 72 hours. You're not going to be harking back on at the end of June saying, oh, you remember when we beat Bristol City 2-0 on the last day? Wasn't it great? But for those young lads, that experience and coming up and playing a championship match, they've been playing under 21 football, under 18 football, whatever. All of a sudden they play, even if it's just 20 minutes, they go, wow, that was a dead rubber. And that was intense. That was quick. The skill levels, you know, I was pulled apart by this player, or he bettered me there, or I managed to hold my own against that. They go away into the summer thinking, right, I've been playing at this level and been used to playing it under 21 football, which is here. But I know the bar now is right up there, and that's where I need to be a Stoke City player. So then they've got something, know where they're aiming for, aren't they? They know the level they've got to go at. And that just might just spur, you know, they're not all going to make it, but if that spurs a couple of them to just be that bit more intense in the gym, or you know, working that bit harder on the drills and training because they know that the level they're at needs to improve, then that's a good thing for me. And also, like I say, every player needs a break. Every young player needs a break, a chance. Look at, you know, he might not be playing great now, but look at someone like Marcus Rashford of Manchester United. He only made his Man United debut because somebody went, pulled up in the warm-up, didn't they? He went on that day, he scored 2 goals, played again a few days later, scored 2 more, and, you know, made himself into, a Manchester United and England regular off the back of that. His chance may have come later down the line, but he needed that break there, set his career up. These players, you never know. Sidibe, Bickerton, Lowe. Saturday might be that game for them where they come on and the manager goes, wow, you know what? He really caught my eye. What a fantastic performance. You know what? He could be ready. I was thinking of buying a new left-back. Well, maybe left-back's a sore point. I was thinking of buying another centre midfielder to add into the pool. But you know what? Sol showed me there. He's not a phased. He's not overawed. He didn't get overran. He more than held his own in the Championship. I'd be happy. He might not start every game, but I'm happy that if Baker's suspended or Pearson's injured next season, I need a centre mid, I'm going to consider him. And then when he gets a chance, it's up to him to take it and force and keep his way in there, isn't it? That for me is that's a far more benefit than sticking the first team out and winning the game 2-0.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Like I said, I think either way, we can't really lose on this one. It would be nice to get another win, and I do think we'll win, Dan. I really do, even with the youth. So I'm going to go for a 2-1 win, feeling pretty confident. And I agree with you on all the elements you said. I'm going to repeat everything you said, but yeah, youth experience will be nice in there. Sidibe, I think he's been really unfortunate that we've had so many midfielders. Because if not, he would have got more game time, I think.
I think he's had a couple of knocks and injuries and illness and everything, yeah. Auntie, as well.
Doesn't help.
But, I mean, the lads, I think there's only, if I'm right, I think there's only one player in the Championship younger than him who's played a minute in the league this year. So that just tells you how much time he's got left on his hands as well, Auntie. And he's well ahead of his schedule so far, isn't he? Prediction. Now, I was going to say, like, just so you know, Mike, you were on 53 points on the predictor. Last place was Third Voices, who have ended on 24. We haven't got one today, sorry. We also, if you know, you'll probably notice, we haven't got any Bristol City audio. So they might be letting the side down here because they're on 65, Graham's on 58, I'm on 62. So if Graham gets the score right, he'll go level with the opposition sort of predictions. And if I get the score bang on, I'll win the overall competition and overtake them as well. So I'm sorry, all these other podcasts who've done the hard work throughout the season, you might want to get on to the Bristol City lads. They've not got back to us. I was going to say 2-1. Now, I am going to have to change that, aren't I? You've taken 2-1. I'm going to go 2-0. Super Six. 57th for me. 9 points I picked up this week. I'm on 398. You, I'm not going to make the joke, is 69th. Having picked up 6 points, I've got 386. Last week, a man who's been on this podcast, who's been on our spaces, a regular, you know, a listener, I think right from the beginning, to be fair, isn't he? John Oldfield, top scored last week, 16 points. Well done to you, John.
That's what
Michael Hazeldean is top overall with 478. Michael Gadgett is second on 471. And third is Sean Flanagan on 466. So still very tight at the top of the Super Six. And we're running out of weeks, aren't we?
We certainly are, yeah.
We are. Gaffer. So I am 34th in Gaffer. We picked up 43 points last week. I've got 2597 overall. The top three, bear in mind, this is the last week of the Gaffer. Yeah, it's championship, so this is the last week. Third place, Stokers Bay, 3678. Second place, at Thurgood Joe, 3699. So 21 points in front of third. And then just 6 points in front, Red Arrow FC, 3705. That's how close Gaffer is going into the final day.
That's pretty damn close. I mean, I think you can pick up, you know, 60, 70, 80 points easily, can't you, if you have a good week, I think. So
yeah, I wonder if any of them have got any boosts. I wonder if any of them have got any boosts left.
Oh, you think they might save one for the end of the season, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Just throw one out there on the last day just to get them over the line. Before we finish with a quiz, mate, a couple of things. Obviously, Bolton versus Barnsley, Peterborough v Oxford. They're the League One playoffs. Now, obviously, we've got you know, Portsmouth won the league, didn't they, in League One. They're going to be joining us in the Championship next year. And also Derby, obviously, finished second. So have you got any preference on there? Anyone you believe will win? It's what I do find interestingly is Bolton, Peterborough and Barnsley are the three losing semi-finalists from last year's playoffs. How interesting is that? So Oxford have now joined them. Who do you think will go up and who would you like to see go up?
You know what? I'd like to see Bolton go up, to be honest. Nice stadium, decent fans, you know, always good for a tonking. So, I'd say Bolton for me.
So, bottom end of the Championship is a very big day, isn't it, on Saturday? Birmingham, 47 points. They're at home to Norwich. Plymouth, 49, at home to Hull. Blackburn, 50 away at Leicester. And Sheffield Wednesday, 50 away at Sunderland. Who's going down?
Have you got a coin?
A four-sided one.
Yeah, four-sided coin. I think Sheffield stay up for me.
Agreed.
Yeah, no issues on that. Oh, do we want Plymouth to go down?
I suppose the issue is, will Birmingham beat Norwich? Because if they do that, their cat is well amongst the pigeons then, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Nothing's going to happen as far as like Norwich dropping out of the playoffs or anything. If I'm Norwich, and I said the same thing to you, I would rest a couple of players. I think the fact that they've drawn the last two games, I think Norwich, says maybe where their kind of mindset may be a little bit, even if it's not consciously. I think that could pay, you know, be difficult. I think West Brom have obviously lost the last three games, so I don't see them doing an awful lot. I think both teams are going to be happy to be in that place. So I think Norwich will maybe take the foot off the gas a little bit. So that would be interesting. Oh, blimey. I'm going to go with my gut, say that Birmingham beat Norwich, which obviously takes them to 50 points and relegates Plymouth, who, as we know, Plymouth are going to be at home to Hull, which is another team not playing for anything, but I want to see Plymouth get relegated now. So, yeah, I'm going to go Plymouth to get the final relegation place.
You'll upset him. You'll upset Schumacher.
He won't care less, mate. Isn't that not now?
Yeah. So, just to finish you off, one last preview podcast quiz for you for the season. What about people who've maybe done their dues and sat around a lot all season? This one is, which players have been unused sub most times this season?
Oh, that's interesting. Unused sub. Oh, I think there might be a couple of curveballs in here as well. So, okay, unused sub. Let's start who it could be in defence. Kieran Clark.
Well, yeah, correct. 11 times, which is the joint third most.
Okay. Oh, it was for a while, but... Oh. Okay, I'm going to move on from the defence for a minute. I might come back to that. Midfield, let's go Baker?
Nope, no Lewis Baker on here. That's one life down. Got two left. I think what position rarely changes? That'll give you a clue.
Well, I was going to say goalkeeper, but it just feels like, geez. Bonham, maybe? But I've got a feeling he might have started too many games here in the season. That's a problem.
No, so Bonham has been understudy to both Iverson and Travers.
Yeah.
So he is number one with 30 unused sub appearances.
Bloody hell. Okay. I appreciate it was an understudy, but I just thought he might have... Okay, well, fair enough. Who's number one, number three? Okay. So, forwards-wise, I'm going to skip ahead now. So, let's go for... Oh, actually, no, Wes, that's wrong. I can't go for him. Can't be Wesley, can it? Oh, God. I mean, how many lives have I got?
Two.
Two lives? Oh,
two left.
Oh, two left, right. Okay, fine. How about Nathan Lowe?
Nathan Lowe, second with 18.
Oh, nice. Okay. Nathan Lowe. Oh, mate, this is tricky. Because I bet there's going to be some that aren't a million miles away from each other.
Yeah, so there's one left with 11, and then there's three, all on 10.
Can I go for... Oh, no, he's not going to be in there, is he? Oh, bloody hell, Dan, you always do this to me. Oh, I don't know. Niall Ennis.
Nope, one life left.
Oh, I don't think so. Oh, this is really cruel. Maybe. Ben Pearson? It's a bit of a risk, that one.
It is a risk. A risk that hasn't paid off.
Oh, no.
So there's three people on 10. Saeed Haksabanovic.
Oh, Haks, of course, yeah.
Wesley, who you nearly said. And young Tommy Simkin.
Oh, of course, when he came back, he had the cover. Yeah.
Yeah, so they're all unused sub 10 times. And then unused substitute 11 times, which is a quarter of the season, Jordan Thompson.
Really?
Yeah, surprised me, that one.
Yeah. He feels like he's been in the team far more, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Especially when he had to cover at left back for...
I was going
to
say, I think a lot of them were at the start of the season, weren't they? Yeah. But yes, we've not conquered the six times challenge this week.
What a shock.
Yes, one final time on Saturday then.
Yeah, it is. What we were going to say as well, we probably want to just set the expectations for everyone that just because this is the last game of the season does not mean the podcasts are over, by the way. Obviously, we've got the review of Bristol we're going to be doing. If you've been on the socials in any capacity, you realise we have an interview with a first-team player, a very prominent first-team player, coming up. As the time of recording this, we will be speaking to them tomorrow. So that should be extremely interesting, to say the least. We've got a few other pods coming on, aren't we, Dan? We've got the end-of-season review that we're doing. So... don't just think that this is over. We've got a lot more really good stuff that's coming as well. We're at an event tomorrow where we're going to try and nail down a couple of ex-Big Stokies, which we might be able to try and get on as well at some point. So just make sure you don't stop listening to your podcast and all your podcast feeds, because you'll be missing out on probably quite a lot of good stuff actually over the summer.
Yes, exactly. We are going to keep at least on a Friday, well, Nathan, we'll get something out to you every week just to pass the summer by, just if the Euros aren't quite enough. If you like, Mike, and I hate the international vibe.
I think hate's probably a bit harsh.
I said strongly dislike, just take it down a notch.
No, I mean, you know what? No, not. See, I don't dislike it. I do dislike it. But I dislike it for selfish reasons when Stoke players are involved. That's what I'm saying. My love and passion is for Stoke City, not for England or for whoever they're playing for, right? I'm very realistic in the sense that a lot of players will play for Stoke because it might enhance their international careers. So you've got to take the rough with the smooth. We just went through a period of players getting injured all the time, and it really peed me off. So I will say that I love it when I watch England play in the Euros or the World Cup. If we do not get to the semi-final of the Euros this year, it's been a failure. When you look at that international team and you see the attacking talent, you know, Bellingham, Kane, Foden, I mean, the list goes on. I'm not going to sit here. This isn't an England podcast, but when you look at that, we have got very little excuse not to go very far in this. If it's Pep or anyone like that managing that England team, we win the Euros for me.
Yeah, they're giving Gareth Southgate sleepless nights, all that attacking talent, isn't it? You know, which yeah. ones to leave out and how is he going to get Jordan Henderson in the side?
Yeah. Might as well bring back Michael Owen while he's at it. But no, yeah, mate, for me, we've got to go far. But yeah, there's, like I said, not don't hate it, dislike it when it involves Stoke City players. Put it that way. That's probably the best way of putting it.
Yeah, so that's it then. Now, the Euros is to come. There's time for that, but right now, Saturday, go on, Stoke.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.